Next on Westmoreland Saturday Morning, it's the Better Business Bureau Show with Caitlin Driscoll here on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, and thisisgold.net. Good morning and welcome to the Better Business Bureau Show on Westmoreland Saturday Morning on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, 910 WXJX, thisisgold.net, and the iHeartRadio app, featuring Caitlin Driscoll, Public Relations Director, Better Business Bureau of Western PA. Caitlin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing great. And we're in May now, and the weather's starting to get better.
Yes, thankfully. Seeing some sun and some warmer temperatures more consistently.
Definitely. What are we going to be discussing on today's Better Business Bureau show?
Well, with it being May, it is also known as being National Moving Month. And this year is certainly no exception. The pandemic, along with continued low interest rates, has fueled an increased demand for houses this year, along with a booming U.S. housing market. And for sellers, this can be good news because low inventory means homes are typically selling quickly and for a great price. But for buyers, this can create a tricky situation that can involve multiple competing offers, as well as a shorter time frame for decision making. But regardless whether you're looking to sell, buy, or make a move in general, the Better Business Bureau has some helpful tips and advice for a smooth transition and moving process.
Choosing to buy or sell a home is a major decision, obviously, and enlisting the services of a qualified real estate agent can definitely help with the process. What are some of the tips for choosing a real estate agent or broker?
Well, the first thing you want to look for an agent or a broker who's experienced, knowledgeable about your housing market, and is always going to act in your best interest. So ask for referrals from friends, family who recently bought or sold their home. See if they're satisfied with their experience and if they'd use that agent or company in the future. Once you've assembled a list of 3 to 4 prospective agents, schedule a time to meet with them. If you're selling your home, each agent should make a listing presentation, and this presentation allows you to become familiar with their background, their marketing plan, and obtain a market analysis, which should include information about similar houses in your area that have recently sold. And many agents assemble a team to support them, which can include less experienced agents and or non-agents working together to market your property. So think about whether you'd be more comfortable working with a solo agent or a team because they both have different associated strengths. And make sure to find out how long the agent has been practicing, how many transactions they've done in the past year, when they're available. For example, if you work a typical 9-to-5 job, you're likely going to need an agent who's available to talk and discuss and meet things on weekends and in an evening. Agents who have more transactions and years of experience will also be more familiar with guiding you through the buying or selling process and handling any problems. Whether you're buying or selling a home, be sure to choose an exclusive agent too. And this way the agent is going to act in your best interest for the sale. Also check to make sure that the agent is licensed with the PA Department of State. And even whether they're a member of the National Association of Realtors or another professional association that holds their members to a specific code of ethics while practicing real estate. When it comes to hiring an agent, it's also important to have that sometimes uncomfortable discussion, but discuss compensation in advance. Usually agents are compensated through commission, which is typically 5-7% of the selling price. This percentage of commission fee can sometimes be negotiated though, and the agent receives commission regardless of who finds the buyer, but receives no commission, of course, if the property doesn't sell. The commission is usually divided evenly between the listing agent and the buyer's agent. And just never choose a real estate agent who is trying to pressure you to sign documents or any type of contract immediately. You need to carefully, completely read them, make sure the agent clearly answers any of your questions. And if you're selling your home, usually you do sign a contract granting that agent exclusive rights to sell the property within a period of time, but make sure you ask about that length or period of time and that it's included in writing.
Now, besides choosing a qualified agent, what are some other tips BBB has for potential home buyers?
Consider obtaining financing before you even start to browse. And houses, especially now, can enter and leave the market quickly. So you could be setting yourself up for frustration and heartache if you start looking before your funding is even in place. And first-time homebuyers may be surprised to see how much mortgage lenders approve them to borrow. And this could affect where you begin your house search. Know what you want, but you also have to prepare for compromise, because it's rare that especially a first-time home buyer is going to be able to purchase their dream ultimate home. So dream big, but consider what you're willing to compromise on and what you're not. And make sure you budget for after move-in expenses as well. So saving for a down payment and closing costs are just as important as saving for the things that you're going to need immediately after moving in. The cost for utilities, even things like changing locks, purchasing furniture and paint really can add up. And to stretch your dollars, make a list of the items you'll need to do immediately after moving into your new home. Get quotes on those jobs so you know that you're getting the best deal for your dollar and can budget in advance. It's also important to avoid some of the common pitfalls that a lot of home buyers have a tendency to fall into, like going over your pre-approval limit or blowing your budget in a competitive bidding war and skimping on things like the home inspection. Once your offer is accepted by the seller, you then move on to the home inspection, which reviews the condition of the home inside and out. It's important to note that not all home inspections are equal. As the buyer, you're the one to hire that company to complete the inspection. So you have to do some research to compare those services and costs and make sure that the inspector is going to have access to every part of the home, like the attic, the roof, the crawl spaces. Even plan to attend that inspection yourself so that you can ask questions and have the inspector show you anything of note. And ask how soon after that inspection you'll receive a copy of the final written report. Read the report, make a list of items that need correction. Understand that the home inspection report records the condition of the home, both the positives and negatives. So this is really going to help you to determine any future expenditures for repairs and maintenance.
If you are a potential home buyer weighing the pros and cons of buying versus building a new home, what advice does BBB have for finding the right builder?
So when it comes to building a new home, definitely finding that right builder is crucial. BBB.org is a great source of information to check when you're researching local builders that you might be considering, including any accredited businesses of the Better Business Bureau. And many of the things you need to do when hiring a builder are the same things that you need to do when you hire a contractor or a remodeler, like getting estimates, knowing what to look for in a contract, and even reviewing previous work done. But there are four specific items that you should discuss with your home builder too. So if you already have a specific style of home in mind, try to find a builder who specializes in that style. Ask how many homes they've constructed in the style that you like. And if you're still considering different kinds, find a builder with a wide range of experience and make sure to check their work in the various styles. Discuss communication methods. Be sure you can reach your potential builder by phone, email, or in person, and that they respond in a timely manner. And ask how the builder will deal with changes or problems that come up. Remember that you'll be dealing closely with this person throughout this entire process and even after they complete the work as you live in your home. And you also want to consider how long the builder has been in business. So it typically takes several years to establish a sound business within this industry. And you want to be sure your builder is going to be around to service warranties after your home is complete. You'll want to talk to your builder about permits in your area in advance as well. But also do independent research with your local department of licensing or permits to find out what is required. And make sure the builder is going to be able to get all required permits before starting that work.
What about when it comes to time for you to actually make a move? What options do you need to consider? Because a lot goes into it.
Yes, and there's definitely a lot. But when preparing to make a move, it's so important. Start off by weighing the pros and cons of doing it yourself and renting a moving truck or even hiring a professional mover. And there are a lot of factors to take into consideration. So ensure you're making the best decision for your moving needs by considering the following different factors. So, of course, cost is usually the number one thing that people take into consideration. And if you're on a smaller budget, it might be more cost effective to rent your own truck. You should factor in the cost of gas, any applicable tolls, insurance, packing materials, and add it to the price of your rental truck. In some cases, hiring a mover may be more efficient, though. You also need to consider distance. So if you're moving close by, down the street, it may be better to rent a truck or use your own vehicle. If you happen to be moving farther away, go with a mover who can professionally pack and secure your belongings for the long haul. You also need to take into account your time. So if you're in a hurry, a reputable mover can help you move quickly and efficiently. If your schedule is packed and you have no free time, an experienced mover can come in handy when packing and moving your belongings. And do you have help? Do you have friends or family to help with the burden of packing and moving? If you don't have anyone nearby to help during the packing and unpacking, you may want to consider hiring a reputable mover to just do it for you. Evaluate the weight of what you're moving. So do you own something particularly heavy or difficult to move that might be hard for you to do on your own? A moving business can easily handle large items and secure them in a moving truck for you.
If you decide to hire a professional moving company, what are some of the general tips to follow?
So always research any moving company that you're considering hiring and compare and contrast what you find about them with their competitors. Check with BBB online at bbb.org to view a company's business profile or to find an accredited mover in your area. And we have information on over 17,000 moving companies that provide moving-related services to help you make an educated hiring decision. So you can find out the company's rating from a scale of A+ to F, the reason for that rating, the company's history of complaints over the past 3 years, any potential government action, and even the exact complaint details, so what a consumer complained about, and the company's response to any issues. You should also check to see if the mover that you're considering is a member of the American Moving and Storage Association or the State Associations of Movers. Reputable realtors can also be great resources for references when you go to get different moving estimates, too.
Now, when it comes to moving estimates, are there any rules to follow, and how many should you obtain? Obviously, just like with anything else, the more the better, right?
Yes. When choosing a mover, it's always best to obtain in-home visual estimates in writing from at least 3 moving companies. And due to the ongoing pandemic, some companies may even offer virtual video estimates, but just don't accept verbal promises. Contact and inform them of your destination and exact timing of your move. And don't forget to show the moving company everything, including things that are stored away in closets, under beds, up in the attic. Make sure they know about any stairs or elevators and any potential access problems. For example, if a moving truck wouldn't be able to pull up close to your home or apartment. Remember to verify that the person you speak with works for the actual mover too and is not a household goods broker. Because a household goods broker only arranges for transportation, they generally have no authority to provide an estimate on behalf of a specific mover. So if a household goods broker is the one to provide an estimate, it might not be binding, and that broker is also not responsible for any loss or damage.
Now, this is a big one. What do consumers need to know about damage and protecting their property during a move? Because this is obviously a big thing that can happen.
Yes, and this is also a topic that we tend to get a lot of complaints about regarding this industry too. It's extremely important to consider purchasing full value protection to cover potential loss and damage to your property, because under full value protection, the mover is liable for the replacement value of lost or damaged goods in your entire shipment. So, for example, if any article or item is lost, destroyed, or damaged while in your mover's custody, they have to replace the item or make a cash settlement for the cost of the repair or the current market replacement value. So be sure to ask your mover for a written explanation of any limitations regarding articles of extraordinary value before you move as well, because there may be certain exclusions with this. You can also protect yourself to the full valuation of your goods by even taking out a policy of transit insurance with an insurance agent.
What happens if you don't opt for full value protection and there is damage to your property, or are you just going to be SOL here?
Well, if you don't purchase full value protection, that could be one way of putting it. Your items are only protected under what's referred to as released value. And this is the basic coverage by law. So this standard offer protection by movers is pretty minimal, and it compensates you only according to the weight of the item, not its actual value. So under this option, the mover assumes liability of no more than 60 cents per pound per item. So an example, if your mover loses or, say, damages a 10-pound stereo component and it's valued at $1,000, you would then only receive $6 in compensation.
Wow.
In exchange for that. Now, with an interstate move, the cost of full value protection must be included in the initial estimate you receive now. And it's the automatic default level of liability instead of release value. You can choose to receive a second estimate with only that release value or a cost of 60 cents per pound per article, but you do have to waive that full value protection to accept it. But this is not the case for moves that are within the state of Pennsylvania. In that case, release value is still the basic coverage by law, so you definitely want to look into, ask about the option for full value protection and additional costs associated with that.
Better to protect yourself and your items for sure.
Yes, accidents can always happen.
Yes, they can. Now, are moving companies required to be licensed anywhere in order to operate?
Yes. If you're moving within the state of Pennsylvania, you want to verify that the company is licensed by the Public Utility Commission. All household good movers operating within PA are required to be licensed by the PUC, maintain adequate levels of insurance coverage, and charge fees that are approved by the PUC. And you can view a list of carriers certified to perform household good moves in PA by visiting puc.pa.gov. You should also recognize that all movers operating in our state have to display their PUC number in any ads, such as phone books, newspaper ads, so on their website. So look for that number, but you also want to confirm it yourself. And if your move is deemed an interstate move, meaning the transportation of your goods is going to involve crossing state or even country lines, it would then be governed by the U.S. Department of Transportation rules and regulations, so specifically the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. You want to verify that any interstate mover is registered with FMCSA to engage in interstate moves. Visit protectyourmove.gov. You want to check that they have been assigned a U.S. DOT number. Again, like with the PUC and local moves, all of a mover's advertisements have to include their U.S. DOT number, too, showing that they're authorized to operate for that move.
Now, if you have an issue with a moving company that you're unable to resolve, which is possible, how can you file a complaint?
Unfortunately, every year at the Better Business Bureau, we receive complaints from people who fall victim to different moving-related scams, or they're having difficulty as a result of hiring dishonest, sometimes even unlicensed moving companies. And a lot of these common complaints consist of items arriving damaged, missing altogether, late deliveries, even goods being held hostage for additional payment. And in some instances, people even pay a deposit for a moving truck, which never arrives on that agreed upon date. So if for some reason there would be a dispute with your moving company, you can always file a complaint with the Better Business Bureau by visiting bbb.org, completing the steps online, or you can request the complaint form be mailed to your address. Now, for any disputes involving moves within the state of Pennsylvania, you can also contact the PUC for interstate moving disputes. You may enter into arbitration with that company. And the U.S. Department of Transportation does require interstate movers to offer arbitration to settle disputes. You also have the right, of course, to take the mover to court if you want as well. So a couple of different options, but certainly the Better Business Bureau, all of our services are free, and it can be a good first step in reaching that resolution.
Definitely. Now, as you go through the process of hiring a moving company, Are there any immediate red flags of a possible scam?
There are many scam moving companies, and anyone just doing an internet search for a move is very likely to encounter one. And moving scammers advertise pretty heavily on the internet now, so they use paid advertising, sponsored links that allows them to appear at the top of search results. Moving scams may claim to have offices in a lot of different major cities around the country to suggest that they have a local physical presence. But in reality, it may only be a mail handling service location or just a virtual office. And moving scammers typically overcharge by quoting a lowball price estimate in order to get your business, but the actual cost ends up being much higher. They generally are not able to provide an in-person estimate either, which can be an important red flag. It's important for people to recognize it's illegal for a company to charge more than 110% of the estimate before delivering goods, even if there are more than anticipated. So if there are extra charges for additional goods, they can only charge an additional amount after delivery and unloading. Movers can charge extra sums for unanticipated events, such as having to climb extra steps, but these also can't exceed 15% of that total cost. And if an estimate is binding, they cannot charge more than quoted in the estimate at all. Legally, the estimate must also include all packing materials, such as any blankets, tape, unless you don't want them included in that estimate. And in a lot of cases with moving scammers, they try to charge victims more for all of those different items. Another potential red flag tends to involve estimates that are based on volume versus weight. So moving scammers will base estimates on volume, which is much more subjective and easily manipulated by these bad actors. Estimates based on weight are a lot more accurate. They're also enforceable, and it's standard practice to weigh the truck before a consumer shipment is loaded, then to weigh the truck after it's loaded to find the weight of the goods being moved. Because it's illegal to increase the price after goods are loaded, moving scammers will usually try to wait until after goods are loaded before they tell you that there's going to be additional charges. They often claim there's far more to be moved than originally planned, and then they have victims sign a new replacement contract for a much higher price. And these new contracts might not even mention the original moving company. Victims who resist, we often hear, they resist that increased price. They're told that if they don't agree to that higher price in the new contract, their belongings are going to be unloaded on the curb. And essentially, with your belongings being held hostage, most people reluctantly agree and then end up having to make a sizable payment. So hopefully by following all of our different tips, doing that research in advance, you can avoid being put in that type of situation.
Are there any other kinds of scams that home buyers and sellers need to be aware of now, Caitlin?
Unfortunately, yes. There's always a new scam that's happening, especially now. If you own a home and you're considering selling, you may have received an offer or you may have seen advertisements promising to buy your home quickly and for cash too. And selling a home is a very time-consuming process. The promise of a quick close can be tempting, but it's so important to understand the difference between selling your home to a traditional buyer and making a deal with a home investor. This is sometimes called an opportunity investor as well. But professional home investors make offers to sellers who are willing to sacrifice some of the profit in exchange for just that faster and simpler sale process. The biggest con of working with a home investor is that you will almost always get a lower offer than you would from a traditional buyer, especially with the market, how it is right now. But typically, investors offer to purchase a property as is, in some instances, sight unseen. So as a seller, this allows you to avoid any potential costly repairs that would normally be considered your financial responsibility. If you are considering selling to a home investor, be cautious of different home investor scams that are out there and targeting people. Scammers prey on a seller's desire to make that quick sale by offering deals that really seem too good to be true. They also take advantage of the fact that home investors don't need any credentials to buy property. When considering an offer, ask plenty of questions. Don't settle for vague responses. Never give money to an investor before the closing date either, and complete all transactions through a closing or escrow agent. Avoid letting anyone pressure you into making payments off the books either. That's definitely a red flag of a potential scam. Now, another issue that has been happening more often now too is the Better Business Bureau is also warning homeowners who might be in financial distress to beware of different foreclosure rescue scams that are targeting people at this time. And what's happening here is scam operators are offering to buy a homeowner's property by paying off the amount that's overdue on the loan. And the scammer convinces the homeowner to deed the property over to a third party. The homeowner is then given the option of renting the property with the option to buy it back later. The rent payment on the home is often higher than the homeowner can actually afford, though, and frequently the original homeowner can't make the rent payment and ends up being evicted from their home. Or if the homeowner does express a desire to buy back the property, the scam operator usually sets the price of the home much higher than the homeowner can afford, which, of course, the homeowner doesn't realize before entering into this agreement. There are other versions of the scam, too, so one in which the homeowner might receive a phone call or a text message or an email with the promise of lowering the mortgage payment in order to help avoid foreclosure. The scammer sometimes asks for payment for their services in the form of a personal check, or also gift cards, so going to the store, purchasing a gift card, and providing that card information. So we always advise people who are being tempted by such offers, if you're having issues, to recognize that you're at real risk of losing money, equity, your home, even all three of these items. So really make an effort, talk to your lender first, ask about how you might be able to restructure your loan payment or even refinance. Some foreclosure rescuers will offer to negotiate with your lender, or if you have an attorney, with your lawyer. Know that such an offer is likely to involve a significant fee. If you are looking to downsize your home, try selling the house on your own to pay off the lender, because signing over a deed is in no way it releases you from your mortgage responsibilities. You should also seek out any foreclosure prevention information. So one helpful resource, try calling the HOPE hotline, and the number is 888-995-HOPE, H-O-P-E. So they provide free foreclosure prevention information. You can also visit their website at 995hope.org for more information.
Any last tips or final thoughts, Caitlin?
Well, most moves are made without issues, but again, it's always in your best interest to do your research, avoid making a stressful situation more chaotic, and always turn to the Better Business Bureau for help. BBB.org to check out companies as a free resource.
You've been listening to the Better Business Bureau show featuring Caitlin Driscoll, Public Relations Director, Better Business Bureau of Western PA. Caitlin, thanks as always, and we'll talk to you again in June.
Thank you.